One, two, ready.
I'm gonna take mine with you, with me.
Ah, mine. Say it again. Mine of you with me. Thank you. One more time. One, two, ready.
I'm gonna take mine of you with me. I'm gonna take mine of you with me. I'm gonna take mine of you with me. Like Rocky Mountain High, the way John Denver sings.
Woo-hoo! WGXC. Welcome, dear listeners. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you are listening to this, either live on the airwaves throughout Columbia and Greene counties or online at wayfarm.org. Welcome to Live by Life.
Welcome, WGXC listeners. This is the Live by Life program. I am Sean McDonald from the Campo Hudson community. We're at the Catskill Studio on Main Street, and we have other members of the Campo Hudson here. Can you introduce yourselves?
Yes, I am Michael. Hi, everybody.
Hi, I am Rachel.
Let me get your mic up there, Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. This is Kelly.
Our special guest today is Giovanni Di Mola, an Italian-American New Yorker who lived in Queens, upstate New York, as well as Italy. He's a former DJ, a photographer, and a clothing designer. He currently works at the Campo Hudson community in Hudson, New York, as a program assistant, as well as a social media creator. In addition to helping behind the scenes for the Campo Hudson Theater Troupe, welcome Giovanni.
Woo-woo! Yes, welcome Gio. Gio is doing some video as well as being interviewed, so we are so happy to have you here. Welcome.
Good morning.
Yes.
So nice to be here.
I'm quite
honored.
Yes, and you are somewhat of a known figure in the city of Hudson, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But we thought we should prepare some questions so that we can really make sure we don't forget any key stuff. So Kelly wants to ask the first question, right? For Gio?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my question is, where were you born? What places did you grow up in? And what was life like for you and your family?
I was born and raised in Astoria, Queens. Is that better?
Yeah, let's get to your level there. We don't want to faint, Gio.
Okay.
That's much better.
I was born and raised in Astoria, Queens. My parents came over from southern Italy, so my first language was Italian, and then I learned English. They were full-on immigrants. What was the other part of your question again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the various places you grew up, what was life like? Because you didn't live in any one spot.
No, I was back and forth from Italy, mostly in the Puglia region in a small town called Pollena Mare. And I traveled all over from Greece to Italy, Amsterdam, UK. When I was younger, we got around a lot more. But yes. And then 20 years ago, I arrived here. In 2004.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, we'll get to that part in a second. Maybe, like, any memories from childhood, like, I don't know, something either in Italy, like something that you're very fond of that was with your family or the landscape, wherever?
Probably being in Campania, being in the countryside in the south. And there were cactus bushes all around, and
yeah.
We didn't know that there were things on them called, that are basically prickly pears. And they were amazing fruits, but I didn't know that we could eat them because in America, we didn't know much about them.
Okay.
So while they were making that, then my aunts and grandmother and I would be making pasta. I mean, I know it sounds very much like a movie, but they'd be making pasta outdoors.
Ooh, yeah, pasta out, making pasta and pasta.
Homemade pasta.
And pasta outdoors.
Italiano.
Wow.
Yeah.
Must have been really good.
I was fed very well. I mean, I wanted to be so American, but once I was there, there was no denying the roots and sneaking a little bit of homemade wine. Anyway.
Nice. Vino, por favore.
Nice.
Per favore.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we could probably talk the whole recording just about that, about food and... Yeah, well, okay, I'll ask you, olives, making olive oil?
Well,
and fresh bread, yeah.
Well, it's you hit it right on the core. My family's land was olive groves.
Yeah.
So we had olives, and we made our own olive oil, and we made our own wine. They were a farming family.
Sweet.
8 sisters and a brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was always... fresh olive oil.
Yeah, the one time I visited friends in Florence and they had an olive garden, literally an olive garden, and I came in late November. They just finished their whole harvesting and pressing, and having fresh olive oil and bread for breakfast was,
and that rich flavor,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Kelly, did you want to ask, as much as we want to keep talking about this? Yeah. And we are hardcore radical recording artists here. Okay.
Talk about your DJing and photography, and when did you first start doing it?
Well, as far as the photography was from when I was a little kid, I always had a camera in my hand, first my mom's and then my own. And I didn't photograph people in those days. I like staying in the background, photographing landscapes and animals because it was safer and because my English wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to the School of Visual Arts. I studied it, but it really came to life when I came upstate because of the amazing Hudson River light. We have some of the most amazing light. And then the DJing, I've been DJing since I was a kid, but the professional side of it really happened once again. It's a funny thing. People usually move to New York City to become something. I moved up here, started DJing little parties at Red Dot and Hudson River Theater. It's my friends Dee Dee and Wendell. And started doing little things left and right, and then it kind of grew and grew. And I got to... have a radio show with our very own Jared on WGXC.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! Represent.
Yes, that's
the house of GXC, Camp Hill and WGXC.
That's why we have you here, because of your history with the WGXC. They still have a few of your shows archived.
They have all of them. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, yeah. Well, we want to keep the music vibe going. Rachel, you want to ask your question about the
yes.
Music? Yeah.
Okay. What does music mean to you?
Wow, that's a deep one. Profound.
please go deep.
You know what it is? It's kind of everything for me because, you know, like people say, it's the soundtrack of your life.
Hmm.
It's the one thing that gets me out of my head. When there's music on,
nice.
I'm not thinking as much as I'm feeling, and it can change the whole vibe. That's why we like doing like our Friday dance parties, right? At Camp Hill, we put some music on and we all start to vibe and dance.
Feel the vibe.
Yeah, it's what keeps me feeling present and happy.
What
independent woman?
is that the song?
he's doing Destiny's Child. Independent women.
Independent. Independent. Throw your hands up in a.
Yeah. Well, we were thinking about a song that we could play at this moment. Maybe.
Yeah, Destiny's Child.
Maybe we'll just. Maybe we'll just play that one. Oh, no, that's something else. Technical difficulties here.
Please stand by.
We clicked on the advertisement here, and we have to pay the bills.
Live radio rocks.
We have to pay the bills. Hooray! Hooray for advertising and the people that earn money from advertising. But that's not our destiny. Our destiny is to be independent women. Okay, there you go, Gio. Does this remind you of your wedding days at all, Gio?
Kind of, very much. Yes, the cool DJ board definitely switched over to weddings galore for many years. And my partner in crime was Mr. Jason Smith. He was my...
I'm watching. I don't know this song, but I like the visuals on the video here.
Yeah. Hello, ooh, I love some
very fine, was the bee.
Some very fine looking women here, in my opinion.
Make some money.
That's cool. Yeah, does that remind you of your DJing days? And you did, you made it was a serious
was
deal for you,
it
right?
It ended up being what was just playing casually and for friends ended up becoming almost like 15 years.
Did that?
But I do have to thank the local folks of
I loved it. I love that song. That's my song right there.
Right. I feel you.
The independent woman.
The independent woman. Did that? did your DJing career really? Take off or really snowball when you moved upstate here?
It did because we were a smaller community, so your voice kind of got heard more, and there were plenty of. DJs, my friends, DJ Lisa. There was a whole crew of people playing, and we just played locally, kind of for each other. But then it started to grow, and grow over time. And when I came up, I will be honest, I was very much just into indie, electronic, and house. And then when you realize you're playing for a room full of people from, 21 up to 91. That you have to play music for everyone. So that was a huge learning curve for me because I was a club kid. So I didn't think, oh my God, I'm going to have to play what?
I'm there, right there with you. I find it difficult to play to the crowd's liking, maybe once in a while.
Independent woman.
So that was a whole journey in itself in terms of you becoming more or less a full-time DJ, right?
Yeah, it did.
Photography on the side.
Yeah, and then the photography was on the side until, because of the DJing, it gave me the finances to be able to focus on my photography. And I also had time because I was freelance. So weekends I would be doing the music, and then weekdays I could do portraits, hike, do all that stuff that people say they do when they move upstate.
Yeah. I was just telling Gio to stay close to the microphone.
Okay.
I figured my big mouth might be too loud. But.
Please ring your own bell.
This song got stuck in my head.
Yeah, I know. We were looking at your website. You have several... web pages, social media, but on your actual website, I think it's giovannidimola.com.
It is.
There was an interesting quote about your photography style that I want to read and get your feedback on. You said, in regards to your photography style, you said, quote, "My signature portraiture style tends to explore themes of transience, presence, and identity." So I'm just wondering, what is that? What is it that you like about photos of individuals and, this transience?
Yeah.
And maybe explain what that is for people.
Well, also, a lot of the, I guess the transient part was when I came to Hudson, there were so many people coming into town from different places, and it was a very affordable place. So you kind of moved through and artists, painters, designers, and you were able to pay your rent and make a living and do all your stuff. So I met many of them, many of the folks that I did portraits of, and they were, you know, before we had to use words about gender or
right.
lifestyle, yep, they yep, just yep. were who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And the gift was that when I would sit with them, and it was usually just one-on-one, with some daylight, having conversations, it was less about me taking their portrait or them. It was more about them sharing their portrait. So mm-hmm. they would sit there and share what they felt comfortable sharing. And sometimes it was really revealing. And I was very grateful that people could be that vulnerable. So, yeah. So most of the time, it wasn't really a planned idea. It wasn't set up. It was, we would meet up.
Spontaneous.
Start off. You know, sharing a meal or tea, and then it would just happen.
Very organic.
Yeah.
Just casual yet focused.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've seen, you know, and well, yeah, where has your work been featured throughout the years?
Oh, in a lot of different places that I was grateful to have it in. I've had shows all over, and from New York City to up here to overseas, but I did get to have little bits and pieces earlier on, and I like saying it just because it makes me feel proud, little bits of Italian Vogue, but it was a lot of New York City magazines and a lot of shooting drag shows and...
Oh, yeah, CCC!
I also got to photograph Woo! Someone illustrious.
Oh.
Our very own Elegant.
Oh, yes.
Which was one of those shoots where we just met up. And yes, please say something.
No, I was going to say continue.
Yeah, no, it was a gift because I had no idea what we were going to do when we met up. And we had all these amazing accessories and wigs
yes.
and things.
Yes.
And then we just did it. And it was so much fun.
Yes. In case people don't know, yours truly is also known as Elegant. And you can't see this. Gio just gave a high five to Elegant, not me. Thank you, darling. I'm so happy that it worked out for you. oh, my God. Our guest is going to die from laughter, Kelly.
And okay. You're already turning red.
I know. I'm blushing hard. Oh, I can't help it.
You're
this
turning
is fun.
Red. This is fun. That's a lot of fun. So, but you actually did a portrait for Ella for the Drag Queen Storytime that was at the Basilica last month for their Soundscape Weekend, and that was also impromptu. I was like, I need you to do this. I need to send something because the library put this awful photo of me because I was in a pinch. Sorry, Hudson Area Library, Tracy. I love you, but. I know it was in a pinch.
No,
but
we made it happen. You came by. Yeah. We had a little bit of available light. You had accessories. We styled you.
Yeah,
I used to be a wardrobe stylist.
Well,
too.
See, so
that was part of my
bells
retail
galore
years,
here.
The fashion side.
Yeah,
so.
And exactly. We need to. That's a question we're going to ask you.
Oh,
But first, Sean's going to ask his question. Yeah, you want to
go ahead? Awesome, Sean.
Tell us about your photographs that were displayed at the Hudson's Amtrak station.
Oh yeah. That's right. They were also portraits of, I should say friends, but also artists, musicians and artists here in town. One of them who passed away years ago, unfortunately, but his portrait was one of my favorite portraits we shot at the Hudson Opera House that eventually became Hudson Hall.
Yeah,
And that came through from our very own Nathan McLaughlin making that happen for me.
Sorry, we're trying to remember something here. I didn't hear what you said. Yeah, Nathan McLaughlin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, the organization that he...
you mean Create.
Create. Thank you. Oh, my God. I was so grateful to Create locally, Catskill. I'm sorry about that, guys, for making that happen for
Woo!
Me. And I had not shown in years, especially with COVID and everything. Mm-hmm. I stopped making art. So to be able to share it. Yes, those were the portraits. I hope I wasn't.
Yeah, that was awesome. And
I
mean, so
I was
you
grateful.
Got locals and people coming and going from town, seeing your work. Yes. Well, whatever that spat was, I don't know. Sure. Thank goodness there's no video of that. I see. Kelly really wants to ask her question. That's why she was like...
Oh, I didn't answer my question.
Oh, yeah, your question. I'm sorry. You're right. Then Kelly will go. Oh, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, because we need to hear about this.
Of course. Talk about your clothing design.
Oh, yeah. Well, besides going to school for photography, I also studied fashion design at FIT in Parsons.
Ooh la la.
Student loans. Nice. I still was paying for it, but
yeah.
My mom was a seamstress and a pattern maker. So I learned how to sew as a kid. Of course, I had to keep it on the DL secretly back then.
Before it would be considered cool and asset.
For a man to be a designer.
In the 80s and 90s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Back I had to keep it quiet. Back in 1989.
But yeah, I know recently I had a whole line of sweatshirts and hoodies that took my photography and used it as textiles for... the clothing, anyway.
Sweet.
I think that's awesome, the cool back.
Thank you.
The cool back? Was that the name?
The cool back, the laid back, the fashion.
Oh, the cool back, the laid back, the fat. That sounds like a...
She's like my new PR. Exactly. I think I just found my new PR person.
All right, Rachel, the cool back, the
file
low back.
Rachel.
Yes.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And you made something recently, just like an experiment, or were you selling?
The company that was designing was a place in East LA, and they would do the fabrication. And I had them. up for a bit. I'm trying to kind of get the re-inspiration. But I think this interview today, after sort of 4 or 5 years of silence. It might start inspiring some art and fashion and music again. So thank you for that, guys.
Coolio.
I've been on the DL, yo.
An independent woman.
Now, Madame Kelly. Yes.
What year did you first visit the city of Hudson, and what made you decide to move there?
Once again, Kelly, great question. Okay. I came in the late 90s. Friends of mine from the East Village told me about this place upstate, even though I had a house upstate on the other side of the river. But Hudson was very different. Mm-hmm. And so that would be probably, they brought me up in 98, visiting. And I kept being a weekender for a long time. And every time I visited, there would always be impromptu parties and dinners and this kind of feeling that I used to have in the East Village where people would just kind of do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved up in 2004. Yeah, but before that, places were boarded up. There was very few restaurants that were open, few clothing stores or antiques yet.
Red Dot maybe had just come
Red
on
Dot
the scene.
Was, yeah, used to be Raymakers.
Just before they changed it. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. It's hard to believe. You know, I came to the area in 08. I'm from the Midwest. And, you know, there was already some things there. Spotty Dog and Jason's upstairs bar was still around. But, you know, there was no, well, even Helsinki's gone now. But there was none of that. And even since 08, it's just gone. Like, I can't even imagine.
After COVID, it just...
Say, around the turn of the century.
Super shifted.
We could go on and on about that, but Rachel does want to ask this question.
Yes. Yeah. What got you interested in social media?
Initially, I was actually not comfortable with social media until I was working at different stores. I had like 50 million jobs in between. And a lot of the stores, because Facebook and Instagram were new, and people didn't know how to navigate it, but it was also free, like a free way to share about what you're selling, what you're doing. Parties, for me, it was... so I could promote my DJ parties and for stores when they were having openings. And so my job was, I was hired by stores to help them with that. And then I started liking it, especially when I got to start putting some of my artwork in there as well. But it helped a lot of folks that I knew had amazing stuff and nobody knew about it. And I was like, more people should know. So that's where it started. Now I have the joy of doing it for what?
Campbell Hudson.
Yeah. Well, that is what a question we do want to ask.
Oh, yeah.
But Kelly wants to ask you this question about your photography.
Tell us about your photography book, Kindred, and what did you put, and why did you put that together?
I guess I would say Kindred sort of was like my dream of what I always wanted to do, which was to put together a book of portraits, because I was inspired by so many photographers, especially the classics. And basic Kindred was sort of describing kindred folk, because all these folks had a commonality to them. They were all who they are. Who you saw on the outside was who they were on the inside. And I started collecting the portraits, and then two of my friends, my friend Roy Barron, and also another friend Sparrow Hall, and my friend Brian O'Donnell, all said, you know, what about, would you like to, you should put a book together. And I said, I'd love to.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's basically all the portraits I did up here. They're all upstate portraits, all in Hudson and the surrounding areas.
Are there still copies, or is it sold out?
It's sold out, but I feel like I'm going to wait till the anniversary of it, because it came out in 08.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So 16 years.
Yeah. So I feel like once the anniversary comes out, did I have that right? I might have that wrong, but we'll find out.
We'll find out. How about we go to Sean? You have a question. Yeah. Up there.
We skipped over one.
Well, I kind of asked it in a different way, but I would like Sean, if that's okay.
How did you find about Campbell Hudson and what drew you to this organization?
Well, it's funny. I used to pass by I worked across the street from Campbell Hudson, but I knew nothing about it, even though I'd lived here all those years. And I used to see, who now I know who they are, Elias and Lori sitting on their bench, waving at folks and saying hello. But the real thing was, Jody Brooks invited me. At one point, I went to a birthday party and we met, and I didn't know who she was and who she worked for. And I said that I was looking for a bit of a change in my life. And I wanted something that kind of puts your ego in check. You know, it's about other people, not just about yourself. And she invited me to come to the Shepherd's Play, which is going to be coming up soon, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it was there that...
Yeah, I remember.
Very beginning, I met Michael Hoy officially there.
Moi.
Yes, at the performance. And then at another point, she invited me to come to a morning circle.
Yeah.
I think one of the tea breaks. And then eventually I got asked to come into the fold, which was a lovely gift. And still with me now.
Yeah, and that was, is that 5 years? Almost
January,
5 years?
January will be five years.
January 25 will be 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years.
Five.
David
five.
Bowie, 5 years. Well, it's hard to believe it's been almost 5 years.
It's
but
crazy.
Yeah, it's been great having you be part of the Campbell Hudson organization. So, Kelly, you want to ask that?
What is it about Campbell Hudson that you like or enjoy being a part of?
That's a great question. I'd say the number one thing would be I've never worked in a community setting before. I've always been a lone wolf in many ways, and it was the first time about learning how to be in a community, how to find your place, but it's also the friends and the people and also the coworkers. Everyone brings their own story to it. So I guess the most interesting part for me was to learn how you can be this organic thing, this whole of so many different personalities become one part of it. So that's what drew me in, and still is kind of like the magic to it for me.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because as you spoke that answer, it reminded me of this play that we, meaning the Campbell Hudson Players, did called Forgetful Divas. It's an original play. And it essentially was exploring more or less what you just said. Now, I'm not saying you're a diva, Gio.
I was back in the day.
DJ Gio Diva, Diva, DJ Diva Gio. There, that was your hyphenated, how do you say, hyphenated name. But that this play, The Forgetful Divas, was about, you know, having people have to take a good look at themselves. And Rachel's speech at the end of that play, you know, how does the speech at the end go, Rachel? It's not about me. It's everybody else and how we affect each other more, you know, in the day to day. Where are we going to go from here? But yeah, no, yeah, that's a beautiful answer. We got to check our ego at the door because it's not just about
you
or me.
Yeah.
So, all right, Rachel, did you want to ask that? Because yes. you love this kind of question. As we go over time, but be it.
Can you teach us a couple of Italian phrases?
Oh my God!
Like I don't know, one or two.
Sure, simple ones.
So we can speak a little Italian.
Yeah. No, I you could say. I want to thank you all.
Okay.
So you say
ti.
Ringrazio. Tutti.
That
means I thank you all. Oh. Exactly.
One more time.
Ti. Ringrazio.
Ringrazio.
Tutti.
Ti ringrazio tutti. Giovanni. Now, this probably won't make the cut, but I'm going to ask it. It's the final question.
One more.
Yeah, there is one more. This is the final question.
One more Italian phrase.
One more Italian phrase?
Oh.
how about hello, goodbye?
You could say un abbraccio.
Un abbraccio.
A tutti.
A tutti.
A big hug to everyone.
Un abbraccio a tutti.
Yeah, tutti is a big word. You know, everyone. If you ever hear the word tutti, that means everyone.
Yeah, okay. A tutti to everyone listening, if this makes the cut.
let me hug.
Do you want to say anything, Gio, to those people in the Hudson City area that have known you for decades, literally decades, and rarely see you these days and maybe listening? Because occasionally I run into certain people around town and they're, oh, how's Gio doing? And do you want to say anything to those people? I'm putting you on the spot.
It's good. I was a very incredibly social person and out there all the time because I was DJing and whatnot. And then once I moved off of Warren Street, I was less in the neighborhood. So, yeah, no, I listen, most of those people I miss very much. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
It's been my goal, let's say now for 2025, before it was 2024.
Yeah.
Post-COVID to start seeing people, hopefully playing music again, photographing. But I miss those folks very much. And the more that I'm at Camp Hill, the more I realized those people from my past are all connected to Camp Hill as well.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Well, what song, since you're the DJ Gio, would be a good outro for that? For 2025, New Year's resolution. Yeah. Bum, bum, bum. Yes, I can pull that up. we're way over time. We'll see.
I am a survivor.
And as I anticipated, somebody went behind that curtain here
and
in the Catskill
studio.
Went to the laboratory.
Yes.
I hit you on the spot here.
You can put, you know, there's a song that I really love called What Do You Believe In? And it's by Rag in and Bone.
Rag and Bone Man?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a beautiful song.
Let's take a look here.
And that's kind of
here.
Become my little yeah. anthem of sorts.
Okay. Here we go. We're going to play that just for you. Here it is. And we thank Gio so much.
Thank you, guys. I'm so grateful.
Live by life, everyone. WGXC.
What an amazing crew. Sean, Rachel, Michael, and Miss Kelly. It was only a fair try. I put heaven in my right hand. It's too expensive in the sky.